Morning, everybody, and thank you all for coming. My name is Theophilos Udigwe. I'm from Louisiana State University Ag Center, and I'm here today to share with you some of the findings on our study on Melick Tree Soy P calibration to corn fertilizer P response in Northeast Louisiana. With respect to soy P tests, various extractant or methods been used in evaluating soy P when it comes to making recommendations for crops. Some of them include, the most common ones include the Braid 2, Melick 3, the Morgan, and the Hossein. Sometimes the choice of the extractant most often would depend on maybe the soil type, and soil varies from one place to the other. So the choice of extractant also varies. Also, attention is should also give in to the instrumentation, what kind of instrument is used to analyze the P in this extractant. Like, for instance, a lot of researchers have shown that the P measured by the ICP is relatively higher than the colometric method, because the ICP has the ability to measure some other forms of P which is not detected by the colometric method, like the organic fraction, the organic P there could be detected by the or measured by the ICP, and it's not easily detected by the colorimetric method. So the ICP there always comes out relatively higher than the colorimetric approach. So most of the time, it's very important to state what instrument is used when with respect to analysis by any of these extractants. Down in Louisiana, we mostly use the Melick Tree. It has its own advantage because it's a multi-element extraction. So in addition to P, it can also give you a good account of some other cations of interest, like potassium, calcium, and the rest. So the soil testing lab in Louisiana State University kind of switch from Braid 2, which we are using before 2005. So by August 2005, they switched to Melick 3. And one of the main reasons there was to provide a common basis for comparison with other land grants labs. Around the country, like within the South, some other states, neighboring states also, depended mostly on the Melick 3. Often, one form of P can be converted to the other, like a Braid 2 P can be converted to a Melick 3, and vice versa. Like this shows the equation used around the Louisiana or LSU area. So this varies from place to place because soil varies. So it's not a universal equation. I mean, it slightly varies as we move from one place to the other. So the major challenges we're facing is that we found out that sometime a soil could show a high P using one of these methods. Maybe another method will show a very low P. For instance, the common seed loam we have in the Northeast Louisiana, it tends to be high if you use Braid 2. It tends to be high in Braid 2 P. Meanwhile, the Melick 3 P is somewhat lower. So this stresses the importance of calibrating whichever method you're using, like we're using the Melick 3, calibrating or direct calibration of whichever method you're using to crop response, like the major crops grown there, cotton and corn. So that takes us to the our main objective was to calibrate Melick 3 soy P test to corn response in the common seed lawn in the Northeast Louisiana. The location of the study was at the Northeast Research Station, St. Joseph, Louisiana. And we're looking at two sites here, two identical sites. We're going to be using organic matter and pH close enough, and the texture of the sites ranges from sandy loam to mostly seed loam. So they are basically identical sites, two common seed loam sites. So the experimental design, it was laid out in such a way that we have 10 treatments, and we want to be able to monitor, like from treatment 1 to 5, we want to be able to monitor the decline in or the depletion of soil phosphorus over time from 2007 to 2009. Then treatment 6 to 9 will help us check if there's going to be accumulation of a P over the 3-year period. So we have 10 treatments in all spread over 3 years. So the experimental design was a randomized complete blood design of 10 treatments, just like I mentioned before. And it's conducted in a rotation between cotton and a corn. But for purpose of time, we're going to be focusing more on the corn data for this presentation. And the cotton and the corn, they receive identical treatment. Since we are interested in P, the fertilizer we use was a triple superphosphate. And the variety of the corn was Pioneer 31R88. And the soil samplings were carried out mostly before the treatment application and after the treatment application at a depth of 0 to 6 inches. So quickly, I would like to share some of the results we got so far. The first table here shows the summary of the corn result for the 2007. The first column there shows the rate, and the next one is the soil P level by Merit 3 before the treatment application. Then we have the post-harvest soil P level, that is after harvest. Then we have the yield. Clearly, in 2007, there was no response. The yield didn't show any response to the added P. It tend to increase slightly from 0 pounds per acre to about 60. Then after that, there was no increase after 60. And there was no significant difference. Also, we tried relating the yield to the soil test P, that's the pre-treatment soil test P, and the post-harvest soil test P. None of these variables show any trend with the yield, or none of them were able to explain the variability associated with the yield. But we found out that the post-harvest soil test P was slightly higher than the pre-treatment, that's before the treatment application. This basically shows that, you know, after planting or during the planting, the crop, you know, took up most of the most of the phosphorus in the soil, and leading to depletion at the end of the growing season. That shows that's reflected in the post-harvest soil P. So the next table here is the summary of the 2008 corn results. This is the 2008 results shown there. But in 2007, the same site receiver, the treatment applied to the site in 2007 is also shown by the site there. So the major point here, still, we couldn't find much differences by the treatment. And also, we look at the relationship between the yield and the soil test P. In 2008, the pre-treatment soil test P, that's the soil test before the treatment application, and the soil test after the harvest, were reasonably able to, about 20 or 28% of the variability associated with the yield. I mean, that's a kind of improvement over that of 2007, which couldn't, we didn't show any trend with the yield. But in 2008, we accounted close to 30% of the variability associated with the yield by this soil test P. So in 2009, this is the result for 2009. I'm showing the result for 2009, but the same site in 2008 and 2007 received those corresponding treatments there. So the major observation here we found was still there was not so much influence of this treatment on the yield there. it didn't seem to be so much difference in part by the treatment. And so at the end, we tried to look at, because this is the main focus of the work, was to relate the corn response to the soy test P. So we put all the data together for 2007, 2008, and 2009. What we found was that so far, the soy test P, we're not able to account for most of the variability or much of the variability associated with the yield in the discommerce seed lawn. So we took a look at the pre-treatment soy test P. That's the one applied before the treatment. I mean, the one sampled before the treatment. And also the one, the post-harvest soy P, that's after harvest. None of them were reasonably able to account for the variability associated with the yield in this common seed lawn so far. So in conclusion, to date, the corn yield has not shown any consistent response to this added P in this soil. And just like I mentioned, apart from the result we got in 2007, which shows that this soil test P, we were able to account for close to 30% of the variability associated with the yield, we couldn't find overall, when putting all the data for the 3 years, there was no reasonable relationship between the soy test P and the corn yield. And also, over the 3 year period, the soy melistree P level showed very little response to the fertilizer addition. We added about four different rates. And up till now, we didn't really see any reasonable, increase, or a reasonable trend in the soy P. So we're thinking that maybe the P are tied up in a certain pool that melistree might not be able to account for. So we are still looking at the post-harvest data, the soy post-harvest data for 2009, which I didn't present here because of time. So we're still gonna carry out further analysis to come up with a very conclusive endpoint to this. So the evidence we get out so far shows that most likely P might not be limiting in the soils, because if they were limiting, we think that maybe the treatment would have made an impact. But so far the treatment has not shown any significant impact on the yield so far. Okay. I would like to thank my co-authors and also acknowledge the founders of this project, which is Louisiana Soybean and Grain Research and Promotion Board. And once again, I thank you all for coming. And if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer that. Thank you.
Any questions for this speaker or any others that we've had so far? Your soil pHs seem fairly low. Is that typical of what you would find in Louisiana? And I'm just curious why you didn't try to get it closer to 6.2, 6.5 just before you started your trial.
It's not too far from the pH of the soils of those area. It's not too far. 4.7 to 6.5, and it's really not too far off from what we have in our region, right? That was like range within the field, within the site. And we noticed that some parts of the field will have slightly maybe some higher clay content. So that would also slightly impact the pH. But it's not too far off from the soils of the area. Yeah.
Is that water pH or salt pH?
Oh. It's water, 1:1 water. Right.
Hi, How many soil cores did you collect before application of treatments from each plot?
From each plot, basically we have 2 yield rows. We have 4 rows in each plot. Then we have 2 yield rows. So basically we took 12 cores, 1 to 6, 0 to 6. That is 12 in all.
In each plot?
In each plot, roughly.
Did you do any soil testing in the subsoil?
Yeah, it was basically on the subsoil. The results so far we have on the subsoil. But in some years we also took from 6 to 12 deeper. But it's not presented here. We're still looking into analyzing those data. But the result here so far is 0 to 6. That's topsoil.
One of the common themes throughout all the talks, this phosphorus ones, was no response or not very responsive situations. Why are farmers applying so much phosphorus to the field? And given the long history that we have of soil testing, why aren't we further advanced?
Well, if you've got a high soil test, then you still recommend we basically 34, 35 parts per million. This is for a 4-inch sand, is where we start saying it's optimal.
Do you want to ask a question?
Because it's so environmentally important, I think it's extremely important to get our agronomic recommendations well defined so we can defend it. But again, my experience is our extracted, at least made with 3, and I think it's going to be true when we go back and extract a number of samples from a large number of tests, that we're not going to find a good relationship with the Braze or the Olson.
Okay. I want to ask that also, like, it looks like the Medic 3 doesn't do anything. Would you recommend just to change the extractor extraction solution or just not to do it?
I mean, obviously, pea fertilizer will have been added to the soil. We know that we have been, the fertilizer application was done. From my own view, I might think maybe another one of these other tests could account for that. Maybe like grade 2,
you know. After you apply something,
right.
Because it is something, so it looks like the Medic 3. I mean, I know that they changed the lab, have changed to Medic 3 because it's cheaper as well. I mean,
it's cheaper, you know. I mean, it's easy, right?
Now, but if it's not giving you any information, I mean, what's the point? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, we got some tissue samples. We've not really analyzed those tissue samples because, you know, we got them lately. So, we got some tissue samples because it's very necessary also. That might help us to, you know, at least answer some of these questions. So we got tissue samples for the corn, and we also got tissue samples for the cotton, because this study was carrying rotation with our cotton. So, yeah. All right.
Tell me, what kind of peat sources you use in this experiment?
Triple superphosphate. Yeah, triple superphosphate. I mean, that's one commonly used, you know, by most farmers around there.